And we are here and ready to go. Thank you for joining me today, New Hope Radio. Going to begin a new series in about 4 or 5 days. I'm going to answer the question, can you have Christianity without compassion? Make they go together? I hear a lot of folks talking on talk radio, you know, like, we're going to teach the young generation how to have respect and how to have a work ethic and how to cooperate and co-labor with people and teach them good behaviors. And I'm like, it's all there in the Christian way of life. Like, it's right under their nose and they don't see it. Matter of fact, they refuse to see it. It seems like people today want any answer but God. I'm like, what's that all about? Why does it have to be any answer but God? If God's the answer, it's good enough for me. So if you want people to have compassion and learn about compassion and responsibility and a good work ethic and all those things, it's all in God. It's in His Word. It's in the Christian way of life. So we're going to talk about the compassion of God in Jesus Christ today. Because there are so many attributes that describe Jesus. And all of these attributes, they help us to understand, you know, who He is. And that's good. We're glad of that. We want to know who the Lord is. Of course we do. But some of the attributes that He has, they kind of highlight certain aspects of who He is. Okay? You know, like His power. We know He's almighty. His love, His sovereignty, His holiness, His righteousness. All of these are tremendous attributes of the Lord. And they're all very true. He does operate within them. But I think sometimes we do forget about, I'm going to say it's His greatest attribute with regard to us. And you know what that is? Compassion. That the compassion of the Lord to us is, it's like His love, immeasurable. You can't measure it. It's there for those that, you know, the compassion of Jesus got people mad. You know that? When Jesus showed compassion to certain people, others got mad because He showed them compassion. Really? Hey, maybe you even at times have felt that God's compassion for you was maybe lacking. But you know what the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:15? That we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses because He's been tempted like we are. Oh, the only difference is He never sinned. And the word sympathize is the word sum patheo. Sum means with. Patheo means to feel. Okay? To feel with. That's sympathy. To feel with. To feel what someone else is feeling. So we have a high priest who can feel what we feel. Why did the writer say this? Because, verse 14, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Because Jesus ascended into heaven, even though now He's billions of light years away, He's still our high priest, and He can sympathize with us and have a fellow feeling with us. That's what He has. He has a fellow feeling with us, okay? One particular definition of sympathy is this: a relation between body parts of such a nature that vibrations in one cause sympathetic vibrations in the other or others. When I read that, I'm like, hey, that is a biblical principle. Speaking of the spiritual body of Christ, right? If one member suffers, all the members suffer. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Same thing, isn't it? So let me ask you, what good is sympathy? Okay? You know what I'm going to say? Sympathy, it's not that good. No, it's not that good, and I'll tell you why. What good is saying, oh, poor bugger, that's too bad that happened. See, sympathy left at that state is really of no benefit at all. Here's the key. Sympathy is to lead to compassion. It begins with sympathy, but the outworking of sympathy is compassion. Kind of like faith without works, right? James said, you can have faith. Okay, big deal. If you don't have works as an outworking of your faith, it's dead. Well, compassion is the outworking of sympathy. Sympathy is the fellow feeling with another person, but compassion is now the outworking of that. It's putting it into action. Compassion is to enter into another person's struggle with the urge to help. That's why I started off with the question, can you have Christianity without compassion? Look at the compassion that's in the world because of Christianity. Are you kidding me? You've got hospitals and you've got rescue missions and soup kitchens and man, it goes on and on. Why? Because people have compassionate hearts. They have the heart of Jesus inside of them. And it's the outworking of the fellow feeling with others. I would say the gospel is God's sympathy toward us. Humankind was lost in sin, separated from God. But wait, it didn't stop there. God so loved the world that he gave. His sympathy led to compassion. Now, if it just said God so loved the world, boom. Sympathy, but we're all destined for the lake of fire. But wait, he did something. He gave his son. Oh, now, compassion made a way for salvation. Okay, so let's take a look at Jesus' idea of compassion in the realm of our greatest need. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, this was, by the way, Matthew, the tax collector's house, okay? So Jesus is reclining at the table in Matthew's house. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners, they came. And they were dining with Jesus and his disciples. So can you see it? Here's a room full of people. Tax collectors, sinners, immoral people, the rejects of the society. Greek scholar A.T. Robertson, he calls this a strange medley at Levi's feast. A strange medley, yes it is, at Levi's feast. Today, it might be a house filled with rough, tough bikers, drug addicts, internet scammers, people like that. And why is Jesus hanging out with these social outcasts? Why? What do you think? Because that's where he shows compassion. And that's what the religious people wanted to know, the Pharisees. They wanted to know, why is Jesus with these people? In verse 11, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, they never asked Jesus, they always ask other people. They said, why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners? If he is so good, why is he eating with those who are so bad? Right? A good man doesn't get around bad people. That was their idea, right? Good men go with good people. Bad men, they go with bad people. Okay? Question. Why would they even ask a question like this? Why would the Pharisees even ask, why is Jesus hanging around with these bad people? Because they thought they were above bad people. They thought they were above sinners. That's what they thought. They figured, wait a minute, Jesus should be hanging around with them. Why is he with those other people? He should be with us. We're the good people. I like what one person said. Never look down on someone unless it is with the intention of helping them up. That's a good way to go through life. So in verse 12, when Jesus heard this, see, he heard the Pharisees ask the disciples. I'm like, what are they even doing there? Were they invited? You think Matthew invited the Pharisees to come to the dinner? Doubt it. Why were they there? I think they're just nosy. They didn't have anything to do. Why were these guys working? Don't they go to the office and work? What do? Seems like they just follow around, look for things to find wrong with people. So when Jesus heard this, he said, it's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. He's answering the question, why is your teacher hanging around with these bad people? Because it's not those who need a physician, not the good. It's those who are sick. And Jesus is making four claims here. Number one, he represents himself here as the sovereign physician of souls. He's the self-appointed soul doctor. He knows that man's greatest need is in the healing of his soul. Why? Because the soul lives forever. That's why. The body, it's temporary. But the soul, that lives forever. Number two, Jesus is making a claim that all people stand in need of his healing power. All people. Everybody that's ever been born with a sin nature, which is everybody except Jesus himself. He's the only human that was born without a sin nature. Adam wasn't born. He was created, but he got one. When he sinned, he created one. Okay? So Jesus is saying, listen, everybody is in need of my healing touch. Thirdly, he's acknowledging that men must also acknowledge their spiritual maladies and the need that they have for his mercy, for his compassion, in order to be healed by them. It brings back the old question, are you hungry? Are you hungry for God? Are you thirsty for the things of God? Because those that are, they will be satisfied. And those that are not, they stay empty. Mankind is divided by those who are hungry and those who are not for spiritual things. Those who are thirsty and those who are not for spiritual things. And that's what divides us. Those that are hungry and thirsty for God, they will be satisfied. Those that are not, they will remain empty. Sad commentary. That's why we're having Back to Church Sunday here at New Hope on September 11th. Big campaign to get people back in church. That's the day. Special message, special music to welcome people back to church. Some that have never gone, some that have fallen away. They quit going, got out of the routine, whatever it was. Bring them back. Bring them back. Get hungry. You got to get hungry. You got to get thirsty. You got someone that's been out of church, invite them. September 11th, 10 o'clock, right here at New Hope on Route 6 in Swansea. And Jesus wants people to understand, wait a minute, I have the mercy if you have the desire. I have the food if you have the hunger. I have the drink if you have the thirst. The fourth thing, it's the most deep-rooted and dangerous disease the soul can be afflicted with. To not know. Oh, man, are you kidding? To not know that you need Christ. That is a deep-rooted and very dangerous disease. To imagine oneself whole when the sting of death, which is sin, has pierced you through in every part, infusing its poison everywhere. See, how many people think they're whole when they're not? They think they don't need a physician when they do. And that's the deception. Oh, the nicest people in the world are still infused with sin without Christ. And it spreads its poison through every part of them. So then Jesus set him straight. He said, go and learn what this means. Now he's teaching the teachers. See, the teachers should know these things, but they don't. So he's teaching them. They should have known, but obviously they didn't. So Jesus says, go and learn what this means. You see, people who say they know the Bible should understand the place of compassion in the Christian life. You don't know the Bible if you don't have a compassionate heart. Oh, you might have a lot of information, but if you have no compassion, you're far from God. You really are. Compassion and Christianity cannot be separated. The Christian way of life is permeated with compassion. Okay? So there are many Bible walkers. They walk the Bible every day. But if they don't have compassion, they have nothing. They know nothing. Even Paul said the goal of our instruction is love. If you stop at instruction, you know nothing. You haven't reached the goal. The goal, why do you have all this learning? To teach you how to love. To teach you how to have compassion. So Jesus says, okay, you guys, go and learn what this means. And here it is, and it's an Old Testament principle. God is speaking, and he said, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. See, sacrifice doesn't impress God. He's not about that. How can anything compare to what Christ did? So what's the next best thing? Compassion. Mercy. And you know, it's a disposition to forgive, to have pity, or be kind. Yes, Jesus is big on forgiveness. Oh, he certainly is. After all, he gave his blood for our forgiveness. Can you see why forgiveness is so important? Jesus poured out his blood. So he's around all these sinners in Matthew's house, and he knows he's going to die for them. He's going to pour out his blood for them. And he did it intentionally, on purpose, so they could find forgiveness. You know why? Because they're hungry. And they're thirsty. That's why. So, what did Jesus say about forgiveness? He gave some sermons. Sermonettes, you could say, on forgiveness. Like in Matthew 6:12. Remember when he taught the disciples to pray? Part of that prayer was, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Wow. Jesus is saying, listen, when you ask God to forgive you, you're asking him to forgive you the way you forgave others. Ooh. And then he said in verse 14 of Matthew 6, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about a relationship with God. You know, let's say a husband and wife, they're married, and they have an argument, and they're not speaking to each other. The relationship is broken, but they're still married, right? They have to come to a meeting of the minds. So, in our relationship with God, it can never be broken. Once saved, always saved. But the fellowship can be disturbed. There has to be a meeting of the minds. There has to be repentance on our part. There has to be forgiveness of others so we can receive forgiveness. That's all that is, but it's not about eternal salvation. Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me? 7? Now Peter thinks he's being pretty bold because the law said 3. So Peter's like, how about 7? How's that sound? I'm pretty good, aren't I? Am I the number one disciple or what? Jesus said, Peter, how about 70 times 7? How about 490, Peter? Wow. Who can count that far? I mean, who can remember, you know? So, with regard to prayer, Jesus also said, whenever you stand praying, forgive. Huh. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. Do you ever think that prayer and forgiveness go together? If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions, Mark 11:25. Don't take my word for it. Read the Bible. Mark 11:25. So think about it. Thankfulness precedes prayer. Forgiveness precedes prayer. See, prayer doesn't travel alone. We've got to have grateful hearts. We've got to have forgiving hearts. We've got to have hungry hearts. And then you can pray. Okay? So, when Jesus shed his precious blood, he knew what this would entail. It would entail compassion among his people, forgiveness among his people. And that would depict the Christian way of life, compassion and forgiveness. See, you don't find those in other places, but you find them in the Christian way of life. Now, stay awake with this one that I'm going to give you. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. But what about the one who really bugs me? If he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times, saying, I repent, forgive him. Luke 17, verses 4 and 5. There it is. See, that is the Christian way of life. Yeah, I can't do that. Well, that's why you need divine power. This is not lived out in the strength of the flesh. This comes from your relationship with God. And the closer you are to God, the more possible this is. Far from God, carnal, ain't gonna happen. Can't do it. So, in summary, Jesus is very big on compassion. Didn't he tell the story of the Good Samaritan? Remember that one? How the guy was left beaten, robbed, half dead. Priest came by, Levite came by. All Jewish. They didn't help him. Samaritan came by of another race, and he helped him. He showed compassion. And Jesus even asked the question, which of these three showed compassion? I said, well, that guy. He's very big on compassion, because it was in his compassion that he atoned for the sins of the world. Secondly, God gave us a gift through the shed blood of his son, the gift of forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is a gift, so think about it. When you forgive someone, you're giving them a gift. A gift isn't necessarily earned or deserved. It's a gift. You just give it to them. Maybe that'll help you to forgive. That'll probably help me to forgive now that I'm thinking about it. As a gift. I'm going to give you this gift. It's the gift of forgiveness. I forgive you. It's a gift. That might help you do it a little easier. Thirdly, he expects us to do for others what he did for us. What did he do for us? Forgave us. And it cost him what? His shed blood. A broken relationship with his father. Horrific physical suffering. Horrific. And he did it so we could be forgiven and have a relationship with him. And he expects us to forgive others so our relationships can be restored. That's what it's about. It's about relationships. The restoration of relationships. You know why? Because Satan is just the opposite. He's about the dividing of relationships. And God is about the unifying of relationships. That's why. That's the difference. So we can represent either of the two kingdoms. We can represent the kingdom that divides relationships, or we can represent the kingdom that unifies relationships. I don't know about you, but that's the right kingdom to represent. And by the way, it works better on our behalf too. That's what gives us a better life. Okay? Now, next time we're together, this is a good one. Jesus has compassion on those who don't have it all together. Is that you? I know it's me. So, Jesus has compassion on those who don't have it all together. Isn't that good to know? That some of us, you know what? We don't have it all together. We're not all that. But he has compassion upon us. How cool is that? Have you joined the Hope Club yet? Come on, we need you. $3 a week. Give you a devotional in your email box every Monday through Friday. Go to newhoperadio.live. That's it. newhoperadio.live. Click on the menu bar. Join the Hope Club. All the information's there. If you can, honestly, we don't check up. Every Friday, send in $3. And every Monday through Friday, you'll get a nice little devotional. Many people just start the day with it. Get you started off on the right foot for the day. That helps us with our radio expenses, and it keeps you in a good relationship with the Lord. So I'd ask you if you would at least check it out, and we'd appreciate that. Thanks for coming along. Next time we're together, Jesus has compassion on those who don't have it together. Want to hear this message again? The Hope Club podcast. God expects compassion from his people. Okay? The Hope Club podcast.